sun goes down,
the sports talk heats up. Atlanta is a sports town.
And we're here tonight to talk Atlanta sports. But not just talk at you, but talk with you.
This is our town, and this is your show.
This is Chris Thomas Tonight
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Chris Thomas.
What's up, Atlanta? Happy Thursday with Turtle. Here for a good time, not a long time, as we got Sunday night football. Orange trying to figure out how to put up the one and a half, because that's how long we're going to be with you here on Thursdays on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And we got a lot to do. Orange 2-0 in his picks from last week. So good job out of him. Want to acknowledge that right off the shoot. Your boy went 1-1 down out the gate. But tonight we're making a full four-pack of picks. What happened last week, Turtle? Well, the Georgia Bulldogs and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets were so projected to be dominant, the lines were not on the board. So we were only able to make two picks. But each and every Thursday, we will pick the Thursday night football game, which, oh, tonight, it's a good one. You got the Commanders and the Packers. We'll pick that game. We'll pick the Falcons game. And we'll pick UGA and we'll pick Tech. Got a lot to chop it up with you at 404-726-0929. Got a question for you right out the chute. Do you trust the Falcons coaching staff to make the necessary adjustments needed for Sunday? Last night we talked about what needed to happen. And the overwhelming majority of you, including on the poll, there's a couple of minutes left if you want to go make a vote at CT Tonight 929, also at C Thomas Radio, the show account and my account respectively. What was the biggest thing that the Falcons needed to improve upon to get a win on Sunday? And I said it was the run game. We had people vote for the kicking game, special teams, pass rush, coaching, all good picks. But let's get a little more specific tonight about the coaching, shall we? 404-726-0929. Again, I'm only here for a little bit of time, so I want to take as many calls as I can as possible. We can include Jeff Ulbrich in this conversation if you'd like. I'm going to leave him out for now because the sample size is too small. But if you feel like there was something absolutely egregious or something absolutely impressive that you saw and you feel strongly about, you can weigh in on that as well. But I'm more focused in on Raheem Morris and more specifically, Zach Robinson. In the couple of days that have passed since the game, we've been bouncing around a lot of things. Why did the running game stink so badly? Was it as simple as they need to adjust to life without McGarry? What's going on with this pistol formation? Why is that thing rearing its ugly head again? I went on my rant about that last night. I heard Mike Bell do the same. I feel the same as Mike Bell. Like, I just don't want to hear about it anymore, man. Like, why is this still a thing? Just, if it doesn't work, don't do it. If it works, do it. Like, let's not make this a running narrative for the second year in a row with a new quarterback. And then there's Zach Robinson. Told y'all yesterday, really didn't like the game plan in week one. I know he was limited, especially at the end of the game, without Drake London. There was only so much he could do. You're missing your wide receiver one and your wide receiver two. But, this team still has the best running back tandem in the NFL. Pitts was actually red hot in week one, so you should have gotten him the ball more. Also agree with Mike Bell on that. What about that, Orin? Agreeing with Mike Bell on two things right out of the chute. Didn't think we'd be there, but Mike made some really good points. I just want to see more consistency and a more effective game plan. I want to see more consistency and a more effective game plan. And part of it is not his fault because of what happened with Kirk Cousins last year. Again, part of it, not his fault because of what happened with Kirk. But part of it is. Do you believe at 404-726-0929 that this coaching staff is going to make the necessary adjustments for Sunday night? Or do you need to see it to believe it? Because I think it's fair. again, we have to, we can't ignore the fact that Kirk Cousins lied to the coaching staff about being hurt last year. But even still, I thought the season started out slow. They picked up rhythm. It started to go really well, and then it fell off a cliff. And then it really wasn't good in week one either. So I have my concerns. And we all know about Raheem as well. A lot of the same things reared their ugly head in week one. Timeout issues. Another timeout coming out of a TV timeout where he had to burn one because they couldn't get the play in. Inexcusable. Down and distance. Time management. Clock management. Those are all things that we know that Raheem Morris struggles with, sometimes mightily. Do you trust right now, Falcons Nation, that this coaching staff is going to make the necessary adjustments from week one to week two to go win a game on primetime? I think there are real question marks. I think they can. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they can't or won't, but I'm saying I have questions. And I think it's okay if you have questions too. There were no adjustments to be found in that game on Sunday. They didn't have the answers. Couldn't stop Vita Vea in the middle. Couldn't stop explosive plays to Egbuka, who's going to be a rising star in this league. But your best has to beat their best. And they couldn't figure out a way to do it or to scheme it up. Your best player on defense bites at the worst time possible. Is that just a bad mistake or is that partially coaching? Was he instinctually wrong place, wrong time? Or was he told to be there? We'll never know. They'll never admit that. So what do you think? 404-726-0929. Right now. I'm not talking about 8 weeks from now. Because if the Falcons rattle off six in a row, we don't need to worry about this conversation. The obvious answer is yes. They can make adjustments. Or, unfortunately, Oren, if they go 2-4 in their next game, in their next six games, we'll also have the answer. And the answer is no. But right now, it's totally up in the air and up for debate. So while it is, let's have an honest conversation about it, shall we? I'll take your calls when we get back. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Right now, where do you guys stand? Do you think, again, we can include Jeff Ulbrich in this conversation? I'm not mentioning him because the sample size for me is too small. I just need to see more. But Ra and Zach Robinson, they were here all year last year, went through the highs and the lows of last season, and there was a lot of both. And then the complete clunker, that was week one. So what do you guys think? Do you trust this coaching staff to make the necessary adjustments for Sunday night? We'll take your calls when we get back. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 7:30 right here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and take us with you anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you for just another hour here on 92.9 The Game because we got to make way for Thursday night football. And it's a beaut. The 1-0 Commanders taking on the 1-0 Green Bay Packers. Oren and I will make our official picks coming up at the bottom of next hour. But I see full phone lines, so we got to get right to them. 404-726-0929. The question tonight. We've been talking all week about how to move on from week one to week two, right? What the team did well, what the team needs to improve upon. Last night, we had a great conversation about what is the most important thing the team needs to correct moving into week two. And now I offer you this question. Do you trust the coaching, particularly Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris? Because Jeff Ulbrich just got here. We only have a one-game sample size on him. But do you trust the coaching staff to make those necessary adjustments that we've been talking about all week? So I want to hear from you, 404-726-0929, particularly the HC and the OC. Let's start with John. John, you're in the game. What do you think?
Hey, yeah, I really like Coach Ra. I've liked him since they picked him up. I think he was the best coach that they could have chosen. But, you know, I'm losing a lot of faith in him. I don't know if he has what it takes to take us to the next level. What I'd like to see is some more run game, establish the downhill run, and use Robinson on the outside, and maybe use Pitts a little bit more, but I really don't think Ra has what it takes to get the job done, unfortunately.
Yeah, John, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for kicking it off at 404-726-0929. It's unfortunate because we know a couple of things about the NFL, though. One, it's a make-or-miss league. And we saw Young Weku miss a kick. And unfortunately, that's not on Raheem Morris, but that was the result of the game. It's also a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league, the NFL is. And what has Raheem Morris done for us lately as a coach? Not a lot of winning, unfortunately. And, Oren, the key for me is it's not a lot of winning combined with a lot of costly mistakes from him personally. Clock mismanagement, timeout mismanagement, down and distance mismanagement, things that, you know, it's not every year that the owner comes out in the offseason and addresses issues that he'd like to see fixed on the sidelines. That just doesn't happen very often. So for Arthur Blank to come out and do that this offseason says a lot. Now, again, is the final chapter written for Raheem Morris? Not at all. Again, if they go 6-2 in their next eight games, I won't have these questions. But right now, based on the way the year ended last year, based on how Sunday went, unfortunately for Raheem and for Zach, for me at least, those questions remain. Let's go to Primal. Primal, you're up next. What do you think? Oh, let's go to Ramil. Sorry. Ramil, you're up next. Typo.
Hey, what's going on, boss?
What up, man?
I don't think they'll make the adjustments. I mean, like, this year. I mean, I like Coach Rob. I think he's too nice. I don't think he's made for a head coach position. Like, I like Young Weku. I'm pretty sure he's a cool dude. He's still invited to the barbecue, but he should have been gone. Like, he's been losing this game since last year, so there's no excuse why he's still losing the game this year. As far as Zach Robinson, I kind of feel the same way I feel about the defensive coordinator from last year. I kind of feel like he over his skis. I feel like he should have got a better, well-known offensive coordinator that's been doing it for a while instead of getting all these new people trying to modern with it.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Ramil. A couple of things there. You made a couple of good points. What do we know about the NFL? It is a brotherhood. And sometimes that brotherhood, in my opinion, is taking a step too far, to Ramil's point. Zach Robinson, where did he come from? L.A. Where was Raheem Morris? L.A. Now, to Ra's credit, I will say this. The overwhelming majority of Sean McVay's young coaching tree has been pretty good in the NFL. So I think he was barking up the right tree. I just don't know. I haven't seen enough consistency from Zach Robinson as a play caller, as a strategist, and most importantly, Oren, as an adjuster. I have not seen him adjust enough in games to make a difference when it comes to wins and losses. There was no adjustment last week. You couldn't run the ball in the first half. You couldn't run the ball in the second half. So the adjustment was, Michael Penix, you're going to throw it 42 times. Not a winning formula, peeps. Not a winning formula. 404-726-0929. Appreciate John and Ramil starting us off. Cody's up next. Cody, what do you think? You trust these coaches?
What's up, Turtle? No, I do not trust these coaches at all, man. Coach Raw is doing the same thing he did with the quarterback situation last year, and he needs to let Ku go. It sucks. Ku's got us through a lot, but he's also let us down a lot here recently. And Coach Raw always gives the coach talk about, you know, he's going to right the ship. I'm trusting in him. I'm going to have faith. He's going to, you know, get it right. But we don't got time, man. We don't got that time to have faith in these people. They need to go out there and do their job. And if not, they need to go on and get, and we need to get someone in here that can. Because Coach Raw has been with us. He knows we went through after Matt Ryan, like the Desmond Ridder, the Mariota years, all the blown leads that we did during the Dan Quinn era. We are so sick of this Falcons way that we're stuck in. We got to get out of it. And he's just not leading us properly, I feel like. He's letting us down. Robinson, he's calling a weird offense, I feel like. I feel like we got more weapons, and we're just so stale. There's no creativity. I don't know why he's got us running left to right on short yardage situations. That one play with Bijan on the goal line, I'm pretty sure he ran the same exact play with the Kansas City Chiefs last year and got the same exact results with it. So I don't know. We got Tyler Algier back there. When it's 1 yard to get, man, I get it. Everyone knows he's about to get the ball. But, I mean, when you're running the pistol, everyone knows where the ball is going anyways. So you might as well let Algier put his head down and try to pick up 1 yard so Michael Penix don't have to on 4th-and-1. But, yeah, man, Coach Raw, I like him as a dude, but he's having a little too much faith in his players, and we don't have time for that. We need results, and we need them now to win because we're sick of it as a Falcons fans out here. Every week, winning by 1 point or losing by 1 point, losing by 3 points. We're beating the teams in the stat categories, but we're not winning the games because the players aren't doing their jobs, and that's just getting so frustrating as a Falcons fan.
Yeah, Cody, that's a great call. 404-726-0929. That's a really strong call. 404-726-0929. I agree with everything you just said. No notes. Everything you just said. 404-726-0929. It's a brutal league, and you can't – Cody's 100% right. You can't give extra points because somebody's a good guy or he does well in the community, which Younghoe Koo is both of those things. It doesn't matter. It's results-oriented business, and you have to be able – to get those results. And Raheem Morris, Zach Robinson, they just haven't. And I agree with Cody as well about the play calling. Why are you running a zone play 4 yards out to try to get 1 yard? It doesn't make sense. When Vita Vea has been eating your lunch all day long against your best lineman, Chris Lindstrom, why are you sending Tyler Algier into that mess head on? Again, he's right. Where's the creativity? Where's the adjustments that need to be made in-game? 404-726-0929. Mr. Mays is up next. Go ahead.
Hey, Turtle, man. First off, man, I love you so much for calling out the coaching staff. Short answer, no, with three. Let me tell you something. The arrogance of this coaching staff not to play your three-game at the end of a jacked-up season rookie quarterback in the preseason made it destiny that we were going to lose that first game. Everybody's been railing on Koo. The point is, we built an offense to blow doors, and our young quarterback is not Mahomes. He's not Burrows. These are two quarterbacks I'm referencing that did play in the preseason. What the what? That's all I got, baby.
Yeah, appreciate it, man, and thanks for the kind words. Listen, Raheem Morris is going to do – this is how it works, y'all. Raheem Morris is never going to actively do something he does not think is in the best interest of the Falcons. Let's make that clear. So, you know, this isn't a session to dump on Raheem Morris. This is to assess honestly about where this coaching staff is right now going into a critical Sunday Night Football matchup in Minnesota. Because what we saw in week one just wasn't good enough. What we saw to end last season just wasn't good enough. And when you put those things together in a pot, like our last caller just said, and you make decisions that, when it doesn't work out, lead back to some questioning and Monday morning quarterbacking, it just doesn't look great. But I will say this, Oren, to be fair, didn't really look like Penix needed reps in the preseason. He was fine. Penix was not the problem.
Yeah, he wasn't the issue right there.
The offensive line, however, yeah, those guys looked like they hadn't played football in a little while. Because you know why? They hadn't. That's part of the issue. Mahomes, Burrow, all those guys, they're not trotting out there without their start, to our caller's point, they're not trotting out there without their starting units in front of them. So those guys got the work. The Falcons didn't. They lost their starting right tackle, the de facto blindside, and that was the result. And our offensive coordinator and our head coach, they could not make it up. 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Gary's up next. Gary, what do you think?
I think we need to calm down and just look at this thing realistically. That was one game, and it's gone. But what we got to do is, I agree with you, we got to go forward instead of going sideways. We need two backs in the backfield to confuse the defense. We got two great running backs that needs to be back there to confuse the defense. But when you put one back, they can key on the one. They don't worry about it. When you got two back there, you confuse them. And then you got a third runner in the quarterback who can make decisions, split decisions, and move too. He did a great job this week. And I don't think it's the coaching. I think what it is the coordinating, calling those plays. The coordinator is the one who, whoever is calling the offensive plays, needs to get on the lines because the linemen are not blocking. And they are players, too. I don't care if someone is out. You got to step up. So I'm saying this. The Falcons need to concentrate on going forward, on one yard, they're four yards back. They got to come up. And the quarterback needs to get up on the center on those plays. And they need to go forward and put them on some butts. That's what we were taught to do when I was quarterback and that was my play. I had to make that 1 yard or 2 yards. So I think right now we need to calm down, play some football. Raheem needs to get back on his job and tell those players to do what they're paid to do. That's all I got,
no,
brother.
No, Gary, I appreciate it, man. I agree with you on the short yardage stuff. I don't get it. I don't understand why you're moving laterally to go forward. I don't understand why you're essentially running into a brick wall in Vita Vea. I get it. I agree with you 100% on that. Zach Robinson's got to call a better game, and Raheem's got to be in his ear, and they got to work together to figure it out. And, you know, all week long, Raheem, he admitted he didn't hide from it. I like that about Raheem. He does not hide from it. He doesn't run from it. Every week when he goes on with Dukes and Bell, even last year, I had a chance to interview him once last year. One of the guys had an emergency, and I filled in at the last second, and I actually got a chance to talk to Raw. He didn't know me from a brick in the wall. I was the producer of the show. But he gave me honest answers, looked me in the eye, and answered every question I had for him. So I'll never take that away from Rob, but there's a difference between talking about it and acting about it, right? The results need to be there. That's the bottom line. Let's finish up this segment with DJ. DJ, you're in the game.
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Yo, what up?
I feel like there's room for improvement for all the coaches, you know, across the board, but it got to be Zach Robinson and special teams, man. I don't think the OC caught a pretty good game, but I'm going to try to give him a pass because we didn't have Mooney. I don't think people realize how important Mooney is to the offense. He's our deep threat, and I feel like he opens stuff up for everybody else. So I'm going to kind of wait and see how he looks when we get Mooney back in the lineup to see how he calls those games. But special teams, man, gave up a big return to Tampa. You know, that flipped the game, gave them momentum. I think they went back door. Then on the other side, we're missing kicks. And in the return game, we went from Devin Hester to Earl Patterson, and now we get fair catching everything. Like, we need to make plays on special teams in order to help the offense out so we won't have to keep making long drives every time we get the ball.
But you're right about the special teams, and I appreciate the phone call. Just got to run because we got to catch a break. That was not a good performance by Marquise Williams and his staff either. We haven't even talked about them. You know that Koo also got the ball out of the landing zone and took a penalty? It wasn't even just the field goals. He also got a landing zone penalty as well. All right, more of your calls when we get back. If you didn't get in, great batch so far. Loved everybody's opinion. How do you feel about this coaching staff? Are you confident they're going to make the adjustments for Sunday night football in primetime? 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. More of your calls. We'll also hear from Raheem Morris next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're continuing to take your calls. 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929 is the number to get involved. If you can't get through on the phones, you can always tweet the show at CT Tonight 929. That is CT Tonight 929. Now, we're talking about the Atlanta Falcons and if you trust their coaching staff. Because, as I always ask Oren to do, I always ask him to say, Turtle, what is the definition of insanity? Well, it's doing the same thing over and over and over and over again and expecting a different outcome. And that has been the unfortunate modus operandi for the Atlanta Falcons the last few years since they've stopped making the playoffs, stopped being competitive, being one of the moribund, mediocre franchises in the NFL. It's a situation where the following happens. Too few sacks, too many penalties, too many coaching blunders, bad quarterback play, rinse and repeat. For seven, yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 consecutive seasons, and now here we are. So you flash forward to 2025, right? And we all get suckered in every single year, the hope, the the aspiration. You see the pictures and the videos that come out of Flowery Branch, and it's like, oh, Michael Penix takes the podium, and the first thing he says is, oh, you see who got the ball? We got we got Pitts involved today. Y'all like that? And it all gets us hyped up, and the merry-go-round goes over and over and over again. So really the proof becomes in the pudding, right? Well, what did we see in week one? What did we see from your Atlanta Falcons against the Tampa Bay Bucks? Well, from my own eyes, thine own eyes, I saw more of the same. And that was the most concerning part of it for me. If it was like, oh, you know, this team just got bested on any given Sunday and, you know, the Bucks are the four-time defending NFC South champions and all the stuff that happens during the course of a normal NFL game, I would be a lot less concerned going into Sunday night. But the problem for me, and that's why we're talking about the coaching staff today at 404-726-0929, is I saw more of the same. I saw a poorly executed game plan and very little adjustments being made on offense. I saw a defense that was very good at times, but when it mattered the most, gave up multiple explosive plays to the other offense, excuse me, that accounted for touchdowns. Two of those being to Emeka Egbuka last week. I saw critical breakdowns on defense at the most inopportune times where Baker Mayfield scrambled not once, not twice, but thrice for first downs on third down. So why is that particularly concerning? Because I'll tell you, because that's exactly the exact same things that have been going on for the Atlanta Falcons for years. Through different coaching regimes, through different quarterbacks, through different defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators, it has unfortunately remained the same. It has been a situation ever since I got here in Atlanta, going on 5 years, where I have seen the Falcons fail to execute in the same critical categories over and over and over and over again. And it does not appear, again, it's just one game, so we're trying not to be hyperbolic. We're trying not to be too reactionary to just one game. But when the carryover of critical errors is what it was from the end of last season to the beginning of this season, my eyebrow just gets raised. Because now it's about, where's your level of trust? Where's your level of confidence that this regime can get it done in crunch time? Mike Conti and I, our head honcho, were joking around a couple of weeks ago that the Falcons are seemingly one of the best teams between the 20s. And when you get inside that critical red zone, they just can't execute on either side. They give up too many touchdowns and they don't score enough of them. And they have to go for too many field goals, which they haven't been making those either. So that's where we're at right now with this Atlanta Falcons team and this Atlanta Falcons coaching staff. And it's just unfortunate because this narrative would be in the dust for the most part. I mean, listen, you got a tough stretch to open the season here. So you lose to the Bucks. If you lose on Sunday Night Football and you start 0-2, this game at Carolina on September 21st at 1 o'clock, I mean, you can't call it a must-win because that's not fair. It's three games out of 17. But it sure as heck feels like it because then you go at home, you take on the Commanders and the Bills who, let's be honest, those two teams are better than you. Let's just be honest about it. Then the 49ers and Dolphins, and you may catch a little break there because the 49ers are a mess right now with injuries, so we'll see where they're at in, you know, over a month from now. And then the Dolphins looked like the most dysfunctional franchise in all of football through 1 week against the Colts. So if you don't win this one against Minnesota, That one against Carolina becomes absolutely critical. And what is these games? What are these games going to come down to, right? They're going to come down to these critical moments that we keep talking about where the coaching staff and the players need to execute at the highest level at the most important moments. And for me, I just haven't seen enough of it to have the utmost and ultimate confidence in the Falcons going into Sunday night. I want to be wrong. I want them to win, and I want them to win by 30 points. But I have my concerns. 404-726-0929. Before we get out of here, let's hear from Ra a couple of things. He was talking about what we're talking about right now. You got to take advantage of your opportunities on Sunday night.
We need to go out there and figure out how to take advantage of the miss ops and make those ops this week, right? We had about 5 drop picks, if you're really hard, if you're really critical. You can add it up to 3 that we definitely should have had. We got to find a way to get those sacks and get them on the ground, the extra ones that we left out there. We probably missed about 2 or 3 sacks. If you can make the plays and find a way to make those plays, you put yourself in better position to go out there and win. And when you talk about offense, if you can go out there and establish the run game that you're very comfortable doing and be able to get some of those things off and be able to run the ball like you need to run it and to be able to complement them with the nice passing game that we were able to put out there last week.
Well, you're going to have to. And that's exactly what we've been talking about all show long. Is the coaching staff going to be prepared and have this team prepared to take advantage of those opportunities and the critical moments on Sunday night? He was also talking about the guy that burned him last year. We read you the stats last night. Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison combined for like 300 yards and 5 touchdowns last year, and Jefferson's going to be out there on Sunday.
Yeah, he's always going to be a problem. You know, obviously an elite player in this league, you know, one of the best, if not the best. And Addison's not far behind. Obviously, he's not playing this week. But it's a well-orchestrated offense. Got so much respect for Kevin O'Connell and what they do and Wes Phillips and all of those guys on that staff. Know so many of those guys so closely and work with those guys, been with those guys for a long time. Very similar to us. Obviously, when you say that about those guys, they're always going to have their own different identities when they branch off, you know, based on personnel and people they have. But
yeah, and he's, you know, he remains the standard. But without Addison, obviously, that allows you to key in on Jefferson a lot more. One more before we get out of here. With Dukes and Bell, he was asked if he was disappointed last week that Younghoe Koo, after the game, didn't talk to the media.
It's tough. You know, I am disappointed because he's disappointed. You know, I'm not disappointed with him. I'm not disappointed about it. You know, but for him, that's he's bigger than that. It just wasn't it wasn't the time for him, right? And like, he had to walk away. And sometimes those things happen with players, and you got to deal with that. And I want to walk away sometimes, but I can't. You know, I have people that I lean on. I have people that I can talk to, particularly people here in this building, and particularly our owner. And right there, he didn't have that. And I feel bad that I wasn't there for him to give him that. And I wish I was there to know that he had the intention to walking away if I had the opportunity to talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, he came back the next day and didn't exactly help his cause. We played the cut of him getting into all the minutiae about the kicking and the mechanics and the turf, but it's up to him now if he's going to be able to bait out Parker Romo and take the job back a third time. I guess it would be technically, right? Oh, boy. All right, 404-726-0929. When we get back, let's check in with D-Led. Thanks, Turtle. He'll be giving us a boots on the ground report about the latest going on. When will we learn about the kicking decision, injuries, and a whole lot more? D-Led coming up next on 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in, hour number 2 of the program. With you here for 30 more minutes, leading you into a great Thursday night football game. The Commanders and the Packers squaring off. Get to see Micah Parsons again and the new look Commanders offense with Jaden Daniels leading the way. I am excited to get home and watch it. But before we do that, we got to talk some Falcons football because there are a lot of questions going in to a primetime matchup on Sunday night in Minnesota. Let's welcome in one of our favorites, D-Led, D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC. Make sure you check out all of his Falcons coverage there. And D, let's start in the obvious place. What do you know about the kicking situation, and when do you think we'll have a final answer?
Yeah, my inclination is that it looks like they're going to stick with Koo. If they were going to cut him, they would just cut him out, right? They're talking about this competition and, you know, giving them more presence and all that. But So that lets me know that if they want to get rid of him, they would have done it already. So he's going to get probably another shot to run out there on Sunday. But he's on a shortest leash of all time.
What about this run game, D? Only 69 yards in week one. The offensive line certainly was not impressive. What has Raheem Morris said about that? What were your takeaways from week one against Tampa with the run?
He said they got beat up. They lost. Give Tampa credit. You know, they didn't block them. They didn't open any holes. And, you know, it's not surprising. You know, I was listening on my way home. Everybody's in an uproar and everything. And I'm like, they didn't play in exhibition season. So you're gonna miss five blocks. You can't open holes. You didn't block anybody. You got two or three missed sacks running past the guy because you elected not to play in exhibition games. Somebody's got data points that tell them, hey, you know, we're going to mitigate injuries by not getting ready for the real game. And I don't know why everybody's surprised that it looked real sloppy and disjointed.
You think Wilkinson did okay despite the two penalties?
We can't, no, because they didn't even run to his side of the field. They stayed away from him. Poor fella. But I didn't see anybody just run over him. But everything went to the left, and they couldn't block it. So, yeah, Wilkinson, yeah, I mean, they had problems, but he wasn't all of it.
What did you make of Zach Robinson's game plan? He's getting some heat for, you know, things like running a zone play when you're trying to pick up a yard or running straight into Vita Vea when he's been eating your lunch all day long. What did you make of his game plan?
No, I'm fine with his game plan. The short yardage and power, he doesn't have a plan in power situations. There's no reason to be in a shotgun on fourth and one or pistol or whatever you want. He corrected me when I called it the shotgun. But pistol, whatever. I don't know. It was explained to me by Terry Lubisky that you got a yard to go. You don't pull the ball away 5 yards to go get the 1 yard. You go get the 1 yard and keep on playing. These newfangled coordinators here don't seem to understand that. These spread people don't understand the basic premise of football is when you need a yard, you go knock the guy on his butt and get the yard. Otherwise, what are we playing here?
Yeah, no, I totally understand, Dean. I agree. I've been harping on that all week. If you don't have 100% effort from our top two wide receivers, or if one or both of them can't go, did you like what you saw from Pitts last week? I thought that was one of the more active games he's had.
Pitts always balls against Tampa Bay for some reason. I need to see him do it a couple more weeks in a row. His best games have always been against Tampa, so wasn't surprised there. But they certainly could use it with Drake trying to play. I think he's going to try to play with a sprain. Mooney should be back. I think it's with a dislocated shoulder. And then Casey went right into the concussion protocol. So, you know, you're going to have to lean on Pitts in that sense and, you know, get a play or two here and there from Ray Ray if you can.
What did you make of Jeff Ulbrich's first week as Falcons DC?
He mixed everything in there. He went after him. He played coverage. He did not maintain the spot on Baker, which, you know, he did early. Caden had a big tackle on the third down stop, but then the spy got, Jalen was a spy one time. He got turned around, a couple times there. They didn't get Baker down. Those were some – they had miscues after miscues or close plays after close plays, all stuff that should have been fine-tuned in the offseason when they were in practice studying with each other and doing whatever they did against Tennessee in the joint practice. But good calls. You had people in place to make the plays, had gambles on both of those touchdowns that got burnt on. Jesse caught him two MEs, which meant mental errors, which he went for the ball where he's supposed to stay in the post and help out Hughes on that route. They had some blown coverages. But as far as the scheme and how they attacked, that was fine. You got to get more of the pressure. Got to get the sacks.
Well, it looks like, D, it'll be more of the same as we're talking with D. Orlando Ledbetter here on 92.9 The Game. Make sure you check out his stuff in the AJC. I'm sure you watched the fourth quarter of the Vikings and Bears, and we saw McCarthy do a lot of similar things that Baker was doing. So they're going to have to be careful again.
Yeah, I looked him up, 6'3", 219. So, yeah, he's not a little dude. But you blast that quarterback a couple times, he'll start looking around a little bit. So somebody, Diablo, or somebody's going to have to light him up when he starts to leak out of that pocket.
No.
But yeah, that's how you address the running quarterback. You light him up as many times. And if you can light him up on the sacks, that's even better.
A lot has been made of James Pierce Jr. being active in the game with some pressures but not being able to get home. Did you like what you saw from him?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You want to get home, of course. But, you know, first time out, rookie, 26 snaps, not a lot, 40% of the plays. But yeah, the sky's still the ceiling for him. And, you know, first time out, we'll see how he improves and gets better. You know, the expectations got to be very reasonable, you know, given the history of first-round defensive ends coming in the league and what they did in their first years. You go back and look at what J.J. Watt did at the tackle. It wasn't that much. So, you know, if he learns how to play pro football and gets him some sacks along the way, you know, that'd be great. And of course, the high ceiling was Javon Kurse with Tennessee, where he got 14. You know, that's almost, you know, some of the people weren't born yet when that happened.
Yeah, that's very true. Did we ever find out, D, officially what happened with Rukurororo getting jumped on the depth chart by Dorless?
They like Dorless. The thing is, Rook, I talked to Coach Ober today. Rook, they could see the pass rush, but he's coming along. He's as a run stopper. So Dorless was able to pass by him because he could stop the run a little bit better in their eyes. And Rook is coming along in that area. So new regime, new analysts, new evaluations. And, you know, sometimes you see players get jumped like that.
You mentioned Divine Diablo. Looks like they found one with him, huh, D?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, he was doing pretty good out there with the Raiders for the most part. But, I mean, when you know, and he had a good game against the Falcons. That's how he got on their radar screen. But, yeah, they needed somebody at that spot that could cover and hit. And, you know, we saw Nate Landman get the Player of the Week for the Rams. We know he can hit, but people kind of were able to isolate him in coverage last year. So we'll see if this is an upgrade. And Troy Anderson's still coming back, too. So, that, you know, you can never have enough good players, never can have enough good linebackers.
How cool was it to see rookie Xavier Watts almost come down with a couple of interceptions? We know he's got to catch him, but to get that close in your first NFL game shows he's definitely got the right idea.
Yeah, he was in position to make plays, and that's what they are excited about, that he wasn't lost. So that's good. That's upgrade in a lot of ways. And I heard Rodney Harrison say that, you know, those guys, the defense looks a whole lot faster to him. He'll be doing his job. I think he's still with NBC. But, you know, so he's got a good view for that and a good eye for it. So he seems to like the rookie. I liked him, too, coming out. You saw him at Notre Dame. So I'm mostly hitting people and stuff. But, you know, the 13 interceptions was the thing he did in college. So, you know, wasn't expecting him to be dropping balls like that. I'm sure he'll get that rectified.
Do we know what's going on latest with DeMarco Helms? It's just a shame. He was having a really strong preseason.
He was limited again today, so that's good. He's back. It wasn't major, just a hamstring. But, you know, those things can linger if you don't treat them right. So he's back and limited. Fuller's down, so he's going to probably have to be up this week. Fuller's a DMP again today, so they got to, you know, have him on the roster just in case something happens to anybody else.
Before I let you go, one thing I think that went a little bit under noticed because of everything that didn't happen with the running game, I didn't love what I saw out of Charlie Warner. I feel like he's usually a pretty reliable blocker, D, but I saw a couple of times where he got blown up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know why you don't let your physical players ramp up during the ramp-up period because, you know, it tends to look like this. I remember one year Michael Peterson was out there and him and, you know, Algie Crumpler was with the Patriots and put him on his butt. And he didn't like us writing about that. But, you know, nobody ever put him on his butt when it was time to play. So that was kind of his wake-up call. And the Falcons were getting their wake-up calls in the regulation game in the start of the season. So Charlie will be fine. We know what he can do. I don't think you lose the ability to go hit people. So I think he'll be just fine.
Before I let you go, for those who've never been, how crazy does it get in that stadium on Sunday?
Oh, I love the old stadium because, you know, I covered the Packers in the 90s when they used to cheat and pump the noise in the Humphrey Dome. And but now they got the big spacious deal like the Falcons, so it's not as loud as the Georgia Dome used to be. You know, it's that same comparison. But they do, the Minnesota fans come out and they know how to get after it. And on a Sunday night, I'm sure once they get out of church, they'll be getting ready to come down there, and they start blowing that horn, and you know, you start hearing that Viking ship sound. You know, they'll be ready for the big stage on Sunday night for sure. It's still a great place. Some of the great fans in the National Football League are in Minnesota.
D, appreciate it as always. We'll chat soon.
Sure, no problem, Turtle. Take care. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is our good buddy there, the great D Orlando Ledbetter on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Interesting. Yeah, it's going to be a raucous environment there, and the Falcons are going to have their hands full. All right, when we get back, I have my hands full. I'm down early. Orange 2-0. I'm 1-1. But this week, we get to make our full four-pack of picks. We're going to pick Falcons, Thursday Night Football, Georgia, and Tech. And we'll come back next week and see who's got the lead. We'll do that to wrap up the program next, leading you into Thursday Night Football. It's Chris Thomas tonight.
A very high-powered Detroit offense.
And I am a big Matthew Golden fan. I think he's exactly what that offense needed. As you mentioned yesterday, they got a really good backfield as well with Josh Jacobs leading the way.
The funny thing is about the Packers is that they are not at their full strength yet offensively. And I saw tonight, too, they're going to be missing a couple offensive linemen. But even with that, they still have enough firepower on offense to get things done. Got a great back, couple great backs. And then the other side of the football, man, like, good luck trying to get things done against that Packers defense this year.
The front, especially. I mean, and they don't have Jair Alexander anymore, right? He gone.
No, Jair is in Baltimore.
Yeah, so they retooled and they'll be just fine. All right. You know, should we save it for last? I feel like this week we should. We'll do it differently week by week depending on.
Well, how about this? How about we go? Let's go Clemson and Tech next and then wait. Because I think the two prime games are the last two games we
can pick. Okay, that's how we'll do it. Clemson -2.5 at Georgia Tech in the flats. Tech has looked very good. The question is, though, of course, how healthy is Haynes King? What are we going to see? This is a desperation game for Clemson. If I was just picking with my heart, Oren, I'd pick Tech. But because there's stakes involved, I got to pick with my head. I'm going to take Clemson. It's a small number. I'm going to say Tech loses this one 27-21.
Dabo does well with his Clemson team and gets them motivated when they have these backs against the wall type games where everything right now is being called into question. One of the two, like you said, we don't know the health of Haynes King right now. And if he can't be a full go in the running game like he was that first week against Colorado, that severely limits what Tech can do offensively. And that's a very, very good – say what you want to about Clemson's offense. That's a very, very good Clemson defense.
They're loaded. It's not as good as it was like maybe 8 years ago, but it's still pretty good. So you're taking – that sounds like you're taking –
yeah, give me Clemson -2.
Wow, we're simpatico so far.
There might be a break in the action here soon, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's do UGA at Tennessee next. Tennessee -3.5. That's the number of the week. Three out of the four games are -3.5.
And they've kind of rotated, kind of stayed at that number. This one was like 4.5 or 5.5. It's gone down, though.
All right. UGA at Rocky Top. We've been talking about this all week, though. Is the offense going to be able to go tit for tat with Aguilar and the Rocky Top offense? I think they need to. I don't think this is one they can afford to trip up. I'm going to give Kirby Smart, as a coach, the benefit of the doubt that they get what they need to get out of Gunnar Stockton and crew, And I'm going to say that UGA goes into Rocky Top and not only covers the 3.5, but they went outright.
Yeah, we're going to be Borg again here. I just think that their superiority in this rivalry is enough to kind of carry them through. I think there is something that Kirby does in the same way that Saban did to Kirby, I guess, or Bama does to UGA. But Kirby right now has that hold over Tennessee, and something about Heupel in this series, he starts calling games differently. And as we saw in the second half, we talked about just the points.
Sam Darnold seeing ghost type stuff.
Type of things. Just he gets out of his comfort zone and starts doing things he normally doesn't do. So, yeah, and then Tennessee being down there, two top corners, I think Georgia has some big, big plays over the top in the passing game.
All right. The time has come. We've been talking all week about what this Falcons team did wrong in week one. We've been talking all week, Oren, about what this Falcons team needs to do to right the ship in week two. The question becomes, do we trust the coaches and the players to correct those mistakes and get it done in a hostile environment in Minnesota? I'll let you have first crack at it. The Minnesota Vikings are a 3.5-point favorite at home versus your Atlanta Falcons. How does this one go?
I'll keep it short and I'll keep it sweet on this one. I don't think the Falcons win or cover in this game.
Wow.
I don't think so.
Just not good enough. They're just not good enough.
It's just not happening right now for them. It's just – we saw just the same things that plagued this team the last 2 years in the opening game of this season. What makes you believe that things are going to get changed that quickly, I guess? Penix looked great last week, and they got a dog at quarterback. But, Minnesota, I think, is a little too good defensively, and – I foresee Justin Jefferson having another really, really big game. And I think what we saw in the fourth quarter last week with J.J. McCarthy is going to start to kind of catapult and momentumize, if you will, into this week. And you're going to see another good performance from J.J. McCarthy.
Here's my lone saving grace, Oren Romain. All week long, we've heard not just the players, but the coaches as well, acknowledge – the importance of where they're at in Atlanta Falcons season of 2025 right now. And because of that acknowledgement, I'm going to hope and pray, essentially, that Raheem Morris has his staff and players ready to meet the moment. Because I think, Oren, if they start 0-2, they have dug themselves not an impossible hole, but a very, very deep one. At 0-2. I think the Falcons win, but I think they win by a hair. This time around, they make a field goal to win the game, and they win 27-24.
All right. I'd say there might be a differing pick, yes.
The Falcons win, but I don't think they cover.
Oh, okay.
The Falcons win, but I don't think they cover.
They get the dub, but the Vikings cover.
Vikings cover. My final prediction, 27-24. All right, that'll do it. We'll check in next week. Enjoy a great, great Thursday night football game. This has been Chris Thomas Tonight.
Night, 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 night,